Photograph by Celeste Magnolia.
Crash!
Are you sure you don't need my help?
No! Tonks calls from the kitchen. I've got it! The sound of clattering pans trails her confident reply. A series of expletives follow. Remus knows better than to question her again. He chuckles quietly and adjusts Teddy on his lap, whose hair is sky blue today. It's a happy color, fitting for a happy baby.
Mommy's trying to make us Christmas pudding, Teddy, Remus says, watching his son flail his arms in the air. I don't think it's going well.
I heard that.
How could I forget? Remus shakes with silent laughter. You haven't set the stove on fire, so it must be a success.
Tonks emerges from the kitchen with a dirty wooden spoon and two fingers in the air. Remus snorts and covers Teddy's eyes.
It'd be nice, she declares irritably, spraying the wall behind her with droplets of chocolate batter, if my husband had some confidence in me.
I've plenty of confidence in you, dear,
Remus replies, fighting the smile playing at his lips.
It just stops short of the kitchen, I'm afraid.
Tonks offers him two fingers again and returns to the kitchen, leaving Remus to bring a fist to his mouth to keep from guffawing loudly at her expense. She'd insisted on trying a complicated recipe despite his suggestion to try a simpler dessert.
It's our first Christmas in our first home, she'd argued. It's Teddy's first Christmas. We have to make it special.
Remus thinks winning the war against Voldemort makes that Christmas special enough, as well as having a family of his own to share the holidays with. Unsurprisingly, Tonks wants to add to it. She has a knack for trying to give Remus more than what he thinks he deserves. The fireplace in the living room roars to life, and Remus reaches for his wand. They're not expecting company today, and defensive reflexes haven't gone away. He holds Teddy close, relaxing only when he sees a mess of jet-black hair emerging from the flue.
"Is it all right if we come over?" Harry asks sheepishly. "I should have sent a Patronus."
"Come in," Remus replies, relieved.
"Dora's busy in the kitchen, but you're most welcome in here."
Ginny follows Harry out of the flue. Her eyes brighten at seeing Teddy, whose hair shifts to black upon Harry's arrival. The baby's chubby hands reach out toward the guests, and Remus hands him off, pleased to see Teddy's eye color changing to green to match Harry's.
He couldn't do that last time, Ginny says in awe. Not like that.
Dora's been helping him.
A loud bang comes from the kitchen. Noting their puzzled expressions, Remus whispers,
She's trying to make pudding. It's not going well.
I should probably help her,
Ginny offers, a knowing smile already on her face.
Please do.
Remus gestures toward the kitchen.
She won't let me help her.
Ginny grins and turns to the kitchen, leaving Remus with Harry and Teddy. Harry is merely holding Teddy, gently swaying from side to side.
What brings you here today?
Asks Remus, observing Harry's pensive expression.
Not that I'm unhappy to see you. You don't usually drop by unannounced.
Harry reaches around to his pocket, balancing Teddy in one of his arms, and pulls out a faded photograph. Remus takes it, his heart leaping into his throat at the sight.
Our first Christmas at Hogwarts, Remus murmurs.
Three young Gryffindors laugh at him, unaware their paper crowns have been set aflame. The boys' laughing faces twist to horror upon realizing their predicament, before returning to smiles and restarting the loop.
It says Christmas 1971 on the back. I've been cleaning Sirius's old room and...
You found this?
Harry nods, looking as if he wants to say more, which isn't unusual when it comes to discussing James. It isn't often that Harry finds pictures of his father. The majority were destroyed in 1981, the night James and Lily died. Remus had barely any, either. It was Sirius who took and kept pictures, but most were left behind and gleefully destroyed by Mrs. Black or Creature when he ran away.
Why don't you sit down?
Remus says, gesturing to the open armchair. Watching Teddy grab at Harry's glasses, he adds,
You can set Teddy down on the floor. He's close to crawling, we think.
Harry puts Teddy down on a colorful blanket and takes a seat, eyeing the photograph in Remus's hand curiously. Remus, having another few months of teaching under his belt, sits back and waits for Harry to speak, letting the other sounds coax him into conversation. Tonks and Ginny are laughing together in the kitchen. There aren't any further outbursts or unusual noises, save for Teddy's content gurgling on his playmat. Harry clears his throat at last, and Remus sits forward to listen.
"I didn't think Dad stayed at Hogwarts for the holidays."
Harry isn't looking at Remus. His hands are clasped together, and his head is bent down.
"I'd have thought he'd have his own family to go to."
"He did," Remus replies. "It was the only year the three of us were at Hogwarts together for Christmas."
Remus recalls his first year at Hogwarts. He was terrified his secret would be discovered. He kept making excuses to his classmates, lies built upon fabrications of illnesses and urgent calls to go home. Christmas 1971 was a rare exception. The full moon that year fell on New Year's Eve, his parents' wedding anniversary. Knowing he'd only be a burden to his parents, Remus decided to stay behind at school. He missed his parents, but hearing how happy they were in their letters, finally establishing themselves in a village, made him realize that they might be better off without him. He'd told his friends his parents were going on a holiday without him, and that's why he had to stay behind at the castle. He'd expected pity from them. It was what he'd gotten from Peter. But Sirius and James had exchanged devious glances. The next day, Sirius announced his intention to stay at the castle for the holidays, claiming he'd rather be with his new friends than with his own family. James, knowing enough about Sirius's family to comprehend that was for the best, didn't want to leave his friends behind. He wrote to the Potters, asking permission to stay with his friends, and they'd gladly granted it. The Potters' generosity didn't stop there. They'd sent each of the young boys generous packages full of sweets and Zonko's products on Christmas morning. Rather than spending the day alone, or with the few older students in Gryffindor, Remus spent Christmas 1971 with two of his new friends, enjoying a snowball fight before returning to the common room to gorge themselves on sweets. It was the best Christmas of his life, until this year's.
"Why were the crowns on fire?"
Remus laughs, his eyes tearing up at the memory.
We chose to throw snowballs at your mum, Lily, who wasn't talking to any of us at the time,"
Remus explains, fond memories flooding his thoughts.
"She was most unhappy when James and Sirius brought snow into the common room to throw in her face." "She stayed behind too?"
Harry's eyes light up. Remus has come to learn that while Harry has a more complicated vision of his father's memory, his mother remains unblemished.
"I never found out why. In those early years, she spent most of her time with Severus."
Harry isn't fazed by Remus's explanation, and seems to understand. Since discovering Severus's true alliances, Remus hasn't been able to understand how he didn't see it before.
"What about the other years?" Harry asks. "Did Mum and Dad stay behind?"
Remus puts his chin in his hand, rubbing at the stubble that's grown in the last few days.
"I can't remember if Lily stayed at the castle in our second, third, or fourth years. In fifth year, when we were made prefects, she chose to stay behind to study for our OWLs. Our sixth, she went home."
Remus remembers that year well. It was the first time Lily and James could have a polite conversation. He adds,
"If I'm not mistaken, that's the year she met your uncle."
Harry makes a face, twisting his lips and grimacing.
"What did she think of him?"
"She never liked to talk about her family," Remus replies, thinking of how often she'd change the subject when they came up.
"James hoped they'd become friendly, but..."
Harry is expressionless for a split second. He bursts into laughter.
"Uncle Vernon? Friendly? Wizards?" he sputters, gasping for air in between laughs.
Teddy laughs along, his hair turning bubblegum pink with his giggles. Harry joins him on the floor, It's one of the few times Remus has ever seen him so unburdened.
"We all thought he was mad," Remus continues, once Harry's laughter has subsided.
He's making smoke rings from his wand, looking remarkably like James. It puts a scratchy lump in Remus's throat.
He clears it and says, "It's what we thought when he vowed to date Lily. After they got married, we thought anything was possible." "What about Dad? Did he stay at Hogwarts for Christmas?"
"Only that first year," Remus answers. "The other years, I could go home without the risk of a full moon. And none of the others stayed behind either. Sirius was ordered to go home his second, third, and fourth years. Fifth year, he went to the Potters, and never went back. From then on, they always celebrated Christmas together, Sirius and James."
Shrieking comes from the kitchen. Before Remus can get his wand, Ginny comes out covered in cocoa powder.
"We're fine, all fine," she announces. "Tonks forgot the tin was open and knocked it over."
Remus shakes his head, and Harry grins. Ginny charms herself clean and returns to the kitchen, muttering about making biscuits instead.
"Anyway," Remus says, chortling at the mishap, "I tried to drop by some of those later years, when James and Lily were married. But it got too hard with the missions. The last Christmas I spent with them was the year before you were born."
"What was it like?" asks Harry, his eagerness no longer veiled.
Remus considers his reply. "Christmas 1979 was a somber affair. That year, the Potters had died of dragonpox, and the Evanses had died of the Muggle flu. James and Lily lost their parents within a 6-month period, with Mrs. Evans the last to die only 2 weeks before the new year."
"All your grandparents died that year," Remus answers hesitantly, watching Harry's face fall. "But you were on the way. James and Lily lost their parents, but they were thrilled about you. Lily made that Christmas all about you."
Remus remembers the extra place setting at the table. They wondered if Sirius or Peter finally had someone to bring home for Christmas dinner, as Remus was adamant he was a lost cause. When no one else showed up, Lily broke the news of the pregnancy. Despite all the losses they'd suffered in 79, the hope of new life kept them going. Harry pats Teddy's now golden curls.
"Was that what it was like for you and Tonks last year?"
Remus nods.
"I always wanted to win the war, but I never wanted it as badly as I did when I had a child on the way. He gave me a reason to keep trying."
His eyes drift to his son's cherubic face, framed in golden curls, staring up at Harry in wonder.
"Boys!"
Tonks hollers from the kitchen.
"Come here!"
Remus scoops Teddy up from the floor and follows Harry into the kitchen. He tries not to wince at the mess in there. Their sink is overflowing with cooking utensils, and a chocolatey smear is painted across the cupboard doors.
"Ginger biscuits," Ginny explains, seeing Remus's expression upon finding a plateful of golden brown on the table.
"No pudding?"
he asks, turning around to see Dora brushing off a gooey mess on the floor. Her magicless cleaning skills are as abysmal as her household charms. Remus is sure she's creating a bigger mess than she started with.
"We are never going to mention pudding again," she growls, getting off her knees and wiping her forehead with the back of her hand.
She has chocolate on her face, and there's flour in her hair. Remus tries not to laugh at her disheveled appearance.
"You tried,"
he says instead, kissing the tip of her nose. She harrumphs, plops herself in a chair, and grabs a biscuit. The biscuit is on her lips when she blurts,
"Hot chocolate! I should make hot chocolate!"
Remus notices Ginny's wide brown eyes as she shakes her head at him. He opens the cupboard and says, casually as he can,
"It looks like we're out of cocoa powder, Dora. Why don't I make tea, and we can sit in the living room?"
"I'd love tea," Ginny declares. "Loads better than hot chocolate."
She nudges Harry in the side, and he nods furiously in agreement. While Remus makes tea, the others adjourn to the living room. He hears the snapping of Christmas crackers and Teddy's delighted shrieks. He smiles to himself, casting charm after charm on the kitchen to get it scrubbed clean. When the tea is ready and the kitchen is spotless, he returns to the living room. The picture from Christmas 1971 is sitting on the coffee table. Harry and Teddy are wearing paper crowns. Tonks and Ginny snap open another cracker, finding another paper crown within it. Tonks, glancing down at the photograph, takes the paper crown and places it on Remus's head.
"Stand in front of the fireplace with Teddy and Harry," she says, shoving him backwards. "I'm getting that new Muggle camera. The polar bear one."
"Polaroid," Remus corrects, but Tonks is already digging out the device. Ginny has the old picture in her hand, moving Harry to Remus's left, where James stood in the original photograph. Teddy sits on Remus's right hip, taking Sirius's place. Grinning, Tonks lifts the camera and takes the picture. Remus looks over his head, yelping when he notices the crown is on fire.
"It's enchanted," Tonks gasps, doubled over in laughter. "It can't hurt you."
Remus lifts the charm and takes the paper crown off his and Teddy's head. He stands next to Harry, who holds the developing picture in his right hand and the old picture in his left. The seconds pass, and the new picture is finally clear. It's somehow already charmed to move. Remus feels the lump in his throat return. His startled expression hasn't changed since he was 11. Harry's reaction is identical to his father's. Teddy, having inherited some of the Black family genes, could almost look like Sirius, as he'd sported black hair for the snapshot.
"You should keep this one," Harry says, giving the new photograph to Remus. "Teddy will want to have it one day."
"That's a great idea,"
Tonks agrees, beaming.
"Thank you, Harry."
Remus gazes at the new picture, a mixture of emotions swirling in his heart. Though some things were the same, many others were different. He sets aside all thoughts of wondering what could have been, having spent too much of his youth dwelling in the past. He has a family now, he thinks, and seeing Tonks now holding his son, he decides it's time to make the most of what he has, mess and all.